I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that sees two movies with something in common go head-to-head to see which one does it better. And welcome to part two of Clash Pod Live. We are broadcasting our live show this week. We did Howard the Duck on Monday. Today you get Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. Oh, who's excited?
I am.
I am too.
Wanted to do Howard the Duck since we started this podcast, and I'm very excited to be doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, even though we've already done it.
I see what you mean. Yeah, but at the end of this live show, we're going to be going live to the live show at King's Place as part of the London Podcast Festival, recorded on September the 4th, in just a moment. But at the end, you will get a verdict, and that may surprise you. Or it may not.
No,
I don't think it will.
I can't remember which way it went.
Really? Yeah. Even though you've seen the films.
Yeah. One of them's worse than the other.
But I think...
Legitimately. I think it was a split decision, I believe.
Well, you can hear this you can hear this argument live in front of 2,000 people, as we did on the night.
We'd had a beer by that point.
You'll find out anyway, because we did the verdict. We did it on stage in front of 4,000 people, and it was a monumental event. So please do enjoy this edition of Clash Pod Live, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Come back at the end to find out what your homework is for next week.
The Kraken.
It's time to say goodbye to Cleveland, as we now find Vicky, and not for the first time, eating pizza in a sewer. From 1990, it's tonight's contender, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. V, take us on a journey.
Hey, who's your favourite spiritual Leonardo who totally tries to kill a guy? Fun Michelangelo, a jealous lech who will cock-block your sexy massage. Determined Raphael, who's basically a stalker and gets his dad nearly tortured to death. Donatello, who's not in it much, but he's voiced by Corey Feldman, who got busted for heroin after Turtles, and that's very grown up. Because this is either a kid's movie for grown-up or a grown-up movie for kids. Does it work? Sure it does. There you go. So, I went to the cinema to see this. Turtles was absolutely massive for me when I was little. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Good. Does anyone else... I've been obsessed about this. Sorry. Whatever. Does anyone else remember the chocolate pizza with the marshmallows on top and you got it from Asda or Morrison's? Morrison's Blackburn? No one? That's annoying. See, now I think it was a dream. Who did I check with? No, I checked with Pete. Pete knows. Yeah, so it's fine. So it's a real thing. So anyway, me and my sister, we had the merch, we had the lunchboxes, we had the pizza. It's the one TV show, like, I remember doing, like, play fighting in playgrounds, like, running around a playground trying to wheel kick the shit out of my sister. So it was big for me. I know. I wasn't very good at it, unsurprisingly.
Which turtle were you?
Oh, we just changed all the time.
You didn't have a favourite.
You've got to be one of them.
If I had to pick, it was Leonardo, because I like to be bossy.
Oh, yeah. You see that.
I got you down as Donatello.
What?
Well, he's not in it.
Intellectual and resourceful. Oh. I thought that was you.
He was being
nice. You're just bossy.
But you don't know me, so there you go.
Alex, I've got you down as Raphael.
No, Donatello. I was Donatello. Because he was a science guy from the cartoon.
Intellectual. Yeah.
At that age.
Fine. I'll be Raphael. He's cool.
But did you go to the cinema?
Yeah, I've got you as Raphael, hot-headed.
Oh, fine, I'll take that. That sounds cool. I like being that. Yeah. What are you then?
Michelangelo, the party guy.
You're wearing a jacket on stage.
I'm fucking hot. I'm a turtle.
Okay.
It's the only green thing I had.
So I watched it in 19... I watched it on video. I didn't go to the cinema to see it. I love the cartoon, and I love turtles. And there was an arcade machine at my local swimming bath that had the turtles beat them up on it, which I played religiously.
What's that got you?
I've got that written down as well.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
That bloody machine.
They're so
I
good.
Wasted so much money on that shite.
I just remember buying the game when it came out for the Amiga and going, oh, this is shit.
Yeah.
So it was disappointing. But I never really got into the movie. I remember watching the movie, and because I was obsessed with the cartoon, I didn't feel that the movie was loyal enough to the cartoon, so it never felt like a good Turtles movie.
What, were you scared because they were ninjas, not heroes?
A little bit. I got used to them as heroes, and what on earth are nunchucks?
Yeah, I was well into the arcade machine. I didn't read the comics. I loved the cartoon. I mean, I had the poster of this movie before it came out. I was well into it, and so... Yeah, I saw it twice at the cinema and quite a few more times on video.
Okay.
I was a turtle geek.
Yeah, me too.
I like the song.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Had the single, had a fold-out poster that I put on my wall.
You've got posters of everything.
Aren't all posters fold-out?
Well, the single, the cover of the
boring, single, boring. The right, so... Oh, my God. Shall we talk about the background to the film?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So it starts with a comic and characters created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird in 1984. But let's just take a moment to remember how massive it was, because by 95, the franchise had earned about $6 billion in revenues, starting from a little black and white comic with a very small print run, which is bananas. So that's principally because there was a licensing agent that convinced them to open everything up to merch, and then eventually it was everywhere. So... Yeah, toys, games. You told me they did a concert tour, which I didn't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Theme parks.
Coming out of the shell tour.
Coming out of the shell in 1990, yeah.
Nice.
Do you want to know a bit about that tour?
Yes.
It's actually quite interesting. It was sponsored by Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut sponsored
interesting, because they wouldn't do the movie.
They wouldn't do the movie. Domino's did the movie, but they sponsored this tour, a rock and roll tour, coming out of their shell, stadiums, songs like April's Ballad, coming out of our shells. And Pizza Power...
Right.
Which involved dancers dressed in the Pizza Hut delivery uniform.
Sexy.
And had lyrics, and I'm quoting the lyrics here. This is the turtle singing. It isn't burgers or french fries that work for turtles our size, but pizza power. It's the thing that keeps us going. We take great comfort in knowing it can be delivered to your door.
Great.
It is the most abuse I've ever seen of a trademark.
So, as you said, so 1987, we've got the animated series, but in the UK, that was Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, because British people are shit scared of ninjas, especially nunchucks, to the point where the sequel to this film, the BBFC made them take out a scene where they thought that sausages might be nunchucks, but they're not. They're literally fucking sausages.
Yeah,
they were like, no, that's got to go. So anyway, so back to this film, which did manage to hang on to ninja in the title, which when you think about it, I don't know how they managed that. So directed by Steve Barron, written at first by Bobby Herbeck, then Todd Langan, because Eastman and Laird preferred his sort of darker direction. Golden Harvest of Enter the Dragon are the people that put it together, but they had a really hard time because of Howard the fucking Duck.
Mm.
So no one would touch it because of Howard.
The Garbage Pail Kids as well, that had come out.
Oh, yeah.
That atrocity.
Yeah.
Which we're doing next week.
Yep.
Because you chose it, apparently.
With Howard the Duck.
So it nearly didn't happen. It nearly fell apart at the last minute until Tom Gray, the producer, goes back to Golden Harvest and says, quote, you can give me the money to make the film or we're going to get sued because we've got Pay or Play with Henson, which will cost us $4 million. So there we have it. The ever-present fear of litigation equals the magic of movie making. That's why you get your film. So that's it. Do you want to talk about the film?
Yeah, please.
Okay, great. One second. Oh. There we are. All right. We're going to open with what I like to call Wallet Relay. Because it's New York, and it's the gentlest crime wave to ever hit New York. Watch out, because someone might take your purse and just slip it from child to child.
The best bit is the last hand that takes one of the wallets, the child passes it, and it's got all the...
the spikes on and the silver armband. It's Shredder.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because you see the spikes, that means he's in costume on the streets of New York. Now, I know New York is full of freaks dressed up, but if you're trying to find the source of a crime wave and you're a half-good cop, you'd be like, what about him? The guy in the metal helmet wearing a purple cloak. He might have something to fucking do with it.
True.
It's New York, though.
I know, but still, him.
Yeah, no, you're right, you're right.
But the New York in this film is... this is the thing I mean about, like, it's nice, sort of neither one thing nor the other at times, because this New York is still a bit of a shithole. So Steve Barron said, Batman came out at the same time. It was that sort of tone I was aiming for. The films I loved, there was a sense of humour and of grounded peril. I was a big fan of Ghostbusters. Not me, Steve Barron. Yes, because April even says, who are you going to call? And then she says, no one, which is a bit of a shoe, but I liked it. So then we meet the Turtles after they've saved April in their sewer. I love the set, I love that sewer, and I love their costumes.
Do you like April's costume?
Well, not, she's not wearing that, which is a bit of a shame, but...
no!
Sorry. Family show.
I don't mind her. I mean, her commitment to a miniskirt is impressive, considering that's what she wears in a farmhouse for 4 days, but fine.
They asked her to wear... Steve Barron asked her to wear this costume. Not this, this costume. not this one. This was 30 quid from a fancy dress website. But he...
By the way, it's not the only one he owes. There are two April O'Neil costumes.
One wasn't as tight.
And he was like, do I wear the sexy one or not?
I didn't call it a sexy one. I did.
You did
call it a sexy one.
Yeah. You said you wanted to feel sexy.
I did, and I do. And that's the most important thing.
You are.
I feel very sexy.
You are.
But they gave her a jumpsuit, a yellow jumpsuit, and she called it horrific and wouldn't wear it.
Oh, wow.
How did she have that much power?
She seems to have had a lot of power, or she thought she did, because she also said about the sequel, I'll do the sequel if there's less violence in it, because I don't like people being beaten up. And they went, you're all right, we got someone else. That's why she wasn't in the other two movies. By her own admission, she said, oh, yeah, I complained about them beating people up.
The first one would have been full of sausages if it was up to her, but no. So let's talk about the costumes, because we talked about this the other day. The costumes are amazing. And given what we went through on Howard the Duck, it's still sort of the same time period, but they just look fantastic. And you are able to emote with the Turtles. So Josh Pate, who played Raphael in both body and voice, which I think he was the only actor to do that. I mean, it's not funny, but it is quite funny. They were obviously boiling hot inside them, but the computers controlling the heads would sometimes go a bit nuts, and the eyes would start spinning around and the mouth, and they would freeze. Mm. So he said, and it sounds horrendous, some of the actors would just start screaming, get this fucking head off me, get this head off me. And it would set like a chain of panic. And one time he was like, I can ride it out. And he's like, I can't. And he was screaming, get this fucking head off me. But his face had frozen in a grin. So I was like, ha! How awful is that?
And he died.
Yeah. He sadly died. Yeah. To be replaced by a child, which is how that goes. So yeah.
They're good. It's good. They look good at the start. I like the start. I like the setup of the Turtles. It's funny you mentioned Batman, because they say, doesn't Shredder go... Splinter says, you know, you live in the shadows.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Batman.
Yes.
A lot of it's like Batman.
A lot of it's like Batman. It's like, because obviously you've got their enemy. And if you sort of explain to someone who their enemy is, it's like, yeah, he's this guy. He wears a mask to cover his facial scars. You know, like Bane... No, this guy's Shredder. It's like, okay, but was he excommunicated from a ninja clan? Yeah. But he's not Bane. Okay, because I love Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, where he creates an underground army with the disenfranchised people of Gotham City. Yeah, not fucking Bane, all right?
But yeah, like you say, I mean, it is when it slints. It's like, was this your... When they've come down from rescuing April, this was your first battle, where you've seen... Raphael's like... No, and it's like, that's your first one, and you've fucked it already. And then also Splinter's like, stay here, effectively. And he's like, yeah, definitely. Just going to pop to the cinema first, though, with my big turtle head on. So he's not brilliant at remaining in the shadows.
It's just his head. He sort of doesn't put it on.
Yeah.
Oh, no, and I'm with my big turtle head on. Or as I call it, my head.
That's fair. So on these, like, secret jaunt, he meets Casey Jones. We get some jokes here about cricket and punkers and crumpets, which, considering what comes up later in terms of jokes, is right on the money for 9-year-olds, I thought, but there we go.
Well, the director's a Brit, and so when they were working on the script together, he took the screenwriter to a cricket match.
And he said, I don't get any of that.
He put it all in the script. I like cricket and it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So then Raphael goes back to the sewer and you think he's going to get a bollocking from his dad, but no, he doesn't. He just gets a gentle lecture on anger and solitude because Splinter is the world's most patient parent. So that any time they fuck up, or even when he's chained to a fence, or he never misses an opportunity to tell his life story. So when April comes down later, he's not like, oh, an outsider. He's like, let me tell you everything. Hmm. Just sit down. Let's talk a while.
He'd be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. He goes on and on and on.
Where my master Yoshi? It's like, oh my God. Again, I know the story.
But I love him.
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, just checking.
I had a real rat called Splinter.
Oh, did you? Rat,
yeah. It died.
Well, they do, yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. And then I got another one and I called it Splinter 2.
It sounds like you've got a pest control issue.
Yeah, Splinter 2. I felt really bad about calling it Splinter 2 because I just suddenly thought...
Why'd you do it?
Well, I didn't realise until I saw it looking at me, and it looked at me in a way that made me think it knew that by being called Splinter 2, there had been a previous Splinter.
It definitely did.
And I made it aware of its own mortality, which it made itself aware of when it chewed through a live wire.
Oh, dear. That's a sad story. So anyway, we'll meet Shredder, played by James Sato. Shout out for like Tango and Cash. A bank of small tellies makes you look more badass than one big telly. But we've established that on a previous episode.
And walking out in front of your crowd of your army and going, your precious armory, gratefully received.
But at this point in the film, very good.
It was before that movie, though, to be fair to it.
Yeah.
I know. In many ways, Nolan ripped off Charles.
I think this is the point of the film for me when like the schisms between like kids' film with lighter stuff and a bit more grown-up material starts to like come quite thick and fast. So April gets slapped in the face by the old "What's in my hand?" trick. Yeah. I'm going to slap you.
It's a smell the cheese. Smell the cheese.
It's unreal. A kid smokes a cigar in that tween hangout where the
From Hackers. It's the.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
What's going on with that hangout? So basically,
it's awesome.
It does.
Except that, oh, my little bit.
Oh, don't give it away.
What?
Stop it. So Sam Rockwell's there, being all like, he goes to the guy, the new guys who are coming, he's like, you can do anything here. And it's a little bit seedy. He's like, anything, you can do anything. What anything seems to be is, bear in mind these are kids, is play arcade machines, skateboard, smoke cigars.
And cigarettes.
And play roulette.
Yes.
Like, do you remember being like 12 years old and going, oh, Mum, I want to go play roulette. I want to go to the casino.
Why did you never let me?
Like, no one ever went, I want to go to the casino at that age.
True.
But yeah, it's...
If you knew about casinos, you'd want to go.
I don't know if I would.
Yeah. It's a game.
I had the Turtles beat him up, though, so I was fine with that.
You were fine. Yeah.
As you said, it's Sam Rockwell.
It is, as head thug. He doesn't even get
a name. Sam Rockwell.
Mm. Yeah, he's
great. He did Charlie's Angels not long after this.
Was he not long after this?
Yeah, opposite...
Was he not like a
Tim
million?
Curry. I did it for him.
That completes this week's obligatory Tim Curry reference.
Oh, that was really good.
That was kind.
I love you, buddy.
Yeah,
love
that
was you, buddy.
No, thank you.
What
thank
a nice
you.
Surprise that was.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's very kind.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
So the character of Danny, he's sort of like, what?
No, Danny just looks really ill.
Does he?
Do you not think Danny should eat some vegetables? Every time I see him, I think, you look a bit sickly.
But has he not been living in an underground
casino? No, he's still living with his dad. He's still living with his dad. I did a little bit of digging on Michael Turney, who plays Danny.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be a horrible story, is it?
Registered sex offender. I just to say, no, he's a writer and director in his own right now. He makes small independent movies. I just started reading what the blurb was about each one. He makes some fascinating, if eclectic, movies. He's made one called Burger Bin. It's about...
Sorry. What's it about?
A wisecracking snake person who runs a burger joint.
That's not what I thought you were going
to
say.
He made one called Normal. A young woman's birthright hides a dark secret. Tagline, horror, sex, art.
Wow!
And 2015's Little, this actually sounds good. An 8-year-old girl seeks revenge on the most ruthless crime organisation in New York for slaughtering her family.
That's
8
good.
Years old.
Good. Mm.
So that's Michael Turney, just in case anyone was wondering.
Well, at this point in the film, Michael Turney, again, he goes to see Splinter, and Splinter's chained to this fence thing, and he's like on his last legs. And rather than screaming at Danny, get me down, he's like, hey, Danny, you look ill. Like, you look tired. You should sit down. But importantly, he says to Danny, all fathers care for their sons, which I thought was a bit loose. Like, all fathers love their sons, might sort of button it a bit more, but care for them, fine, okay. But that's the heart of this film, and I do think it works. Mm. This is quite a movie moment, no?
It's all right.
Okay.
I think all the bits with Splinter are quite sweet and moving.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's good. Do you know where he's chained up? That set. You know, it was that set has had an inglorious history on cinema. It was also in the terrible Super Mario Brothers. It was Dino Hatton in that. And it was also in that terrible movie. It was Top Dollar's Nightclub in that rubbish film, The Crow.
Oh, shut up! Oh, my God, I thought it looked a bit familiar.
Is there only one bit of fence in Hollywood?
Oh, that's everything of The Crow.
Yeah.
Aww.
That's a good movie.
So anyway, let's go to the farmhouse because I think we should really connect with our core audience of 9-year-olds. Let's just throw in a few jokes about the Grapes of Wrath and moonlighting, which will go down a storm with some 9-year-olds. And also, while we're here, let's whip up some sexual tension between April and Casey, aka having a shouty argument for fucking no reason whatsoever. And then also we button that with a forced sexy back massage. So the bit where he's like, do you want to sit down? Sit down!
I don't think it's kind of a reach around though.
No, it's not. He's not teaching her to do anything.
He comes out behind, he's giving her...
I appreciate the effort, but don't, because it's not. So...
he's literally reaching around her. That's why it's a reach around.
But he doesn't even... I don't think he even says anything.
No, he just grabs her.
Yeah,
just grabs
a bit weird. It's a bit weird.
Have a massage! Yeah.
So he's a bit... He's playing his character... A little bit his character in the David Cronenberg movie Crash.
No one thought that was going to come on. obviously, a pet peeve of mine. April does a voiceover here, but to who? Who is she talking to? She's like, oh, the turtles are really sad, even though they're training. And she can draw now. She can draw like fucking crazy. But she's doing a VO to no one. Because it's not even... I thought it would be... When you see her with a pencil and she's doing a voiceover, I was like, for some reason, you're writing a letter. No, you're not. You're just sketching. Mm. So obviously that annoyed
me. He wanted an excuse, Steve Barron, the director. He'd done the Take On Me video and he was paying homage to himself.
Oh, I see.
Where the drawings come to life.
Oh, I
which
see.
Which is a bit self-involved.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I never made the connection. That kind of makes sense. But you can't do a voiceover to no one, ever. So, no.
Why, when Raphael is injured, do they put him in a bath like he's pissed?
I didn't... What?
They dump him in a bath.
No one's ever put me in a bath when I've been...
He's a turtle, so he needs water.
But there's no water in the bath. He's just in a dry bath.
You don't see inside the bath. He's hanging out of it. I know what you mean, in quite a weird way. If you're going to put him in. You're right. He's got a leg out and an arm out over the side.
Yeah. Apparently, he was near death, and they've just gone. He'll be fine. Let's go drinking.
So after the farmhouse and the training, they're ready to rescue Splinter. And there's a very bad joke here about Casey being claustrophobic, to which he says, this is bad. He says, I've never even looked at another guy before. And you think, oh, the 90s. It doesn't even work.
No,
it just rhymes with homophobic. And even then, it still doesn't work.
Yeah, I love guys.
Yeah, fine. Whatever. Yeah. So, no.
Are you going to mention baby Splinter in his cage?
Oh, yeah.
That's brilliant.
It's really, really, really
I love
good.
That tiny goddamn rat.
Me too.
The only problem with it is... Why is it a birdcage?
Like, that's a good point.
The thing is, Splinter's whole vibe is like, Master Yoshi was a genius. And you're like, Master Yoshi, he seems like he's a fucking idiot. He's gone to a pet shop and gone, can I have a parrot? And they've gone, yeah, that's a parrot. And he's gone, is it? They're going, yeah. It's a parrot. Have it and stick it in your birdcage. He's like, all right, seems good.
Yeah,
is it so we can jump from a height onto that bloke's shred his face?
My honest answer is because it's more poetic. A caged bird learning to sing, a caged rat learning to fight.
You think that's what they were thinking?
I do, yeah. No.
I mean, you can't... I'm just saying, if anyone's thinking of buying a rat after this, you can't keep him in a cage like that. You got to give
Splinter
him...
Splinter 3, that's how he went.
You got to
give...
You got to give him bedding, you know, a little water bottle. That rat is, I mean, it's probably good they ended up in the mutagen because he was on his way out. And also, bird cages don't have solid bottoms, so all that rat piss.
Fine. Rat piss!
Yeah. This is from a person who owned two rats.
Killed two rats.
One died of natural causes.
Oh, dear. So, anyway, Splinter's not dead. And even though I've seen this film before, you know when he's in, like, the blue Splinter ghost around the fire and he says to his sons, these are my final words. And I was like, oh, because you've died.
Yeah.
But he's not dead.
He's a bullshit artist. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll
please
never
rescue
see
me.
You again. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real dick move.
Yeah. So eventually, they go to rescue Splinter and then they come face to face with Shredder. And this is a strange one because there is this the big bad, the big enemy. And he's like, I'm going to kick your ass. You will not be able to beat me. And they go, okay, well, I think our strategy here will be to try and fight you one-on-one rather than team up, which would be the smart move, I think, in that situation.
And I think they've literally just been told by Splinter before, four is better than one.
Yeah.
That was the big lesson in the Yoda scene.
Yeah, and then the next scene, they're doing the opposite.
Yeah. But it's okay because Splinter, like, flips Shredder off the building, and he's got, like, wrist bonds and his chain there, and he's dangling there. But then Splinter just lectures the hell out of him again, like he has done the whole film, something about dignity. And then I think Shredder's like, fuck this, and cuts his wrist bonds, and then ends up in a bin lorry,
suicide.
And then he dies.
It's suicide.
Yeah, yeah. Enough. Shut up. That's the end. Oh, no, wait, Splinter says cowabunga. That's the end.
No, we get Danny, the completion of Danny's arc. Cause
oh, yeah.
Danny goes, Dad, it's not fucking Danny, it's Dan.
Yeah.
Dad, call me Dan.
It's good. No,
it's good.
That, though.
It's good.
Yeah.
He's finding his own identity. It was all about him searching for his own identity. Now he's found it.
Yeah, he's a man now.
It's good.
Yeah.
Fine.
Any more?
No.
Well, it's not the complete end. We've got the song Total Power.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've got a song by a band. I checked out the name Spunkadelic. Not my words.
Spunkadelic.
Yeah, that's what the band's called.
Budget of $13.5 million, worldwide box office $202 million.
Yeah,
that's a smash.
A lot of that was me.
Do you want to do the bits?
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, what was your best scene?
Oh my God, I love a stop motion miniature, and it's got to be little Splinter.
Is that your
answer? I hadn't thought about the birdcage thing, but it's just adorable, especially when he's slicing that guy's face up.
Yeah, tiny Splinter
really?
In a cage. Yeah, of course.
Mine as well.
What?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's so sweet. Yeah. What's your most valuable whatever, Alex?
Tiny Splinter in his cage. Seriously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris?
I mean, this is easy. Turtle Power by Partners in Crime.
Okay.
It's one of the best songs of all time.
I mean, it actually is. That's true. I actually had that as well. Look, there you go.
Yeah.
Tiny Splinter in the cage.
We had a weird moment not long ago where we realised we both knew all the words.
You did film it, didn't you? You were going to put it on the Twitter, but then we were too pissed.
Yeah.
So it didn't go on.
And realised when I looked
so
at the video
how it upset went on for ages.
Everyone in the pub was so pissed off around us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not putting that online.
No. Mine, if you're interested, is Jim Henson and the Creature Shop for the creatures.
And they did Tiny Splinter.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
tiny Splinter, really.
So fair enough.
Yeah.
Chris, what would you change?
I think there needs to be more with Shredder. I think Shredder needs to come face to face with the Turtles earlier on. I think maybe he needs the one that needs to be the one that nearly mortally wounds Raphael. I think we need to build him up a bit more because he just meets him at the end and they have a fight. And so I think it doesn't pay off. You need to set shit up to pay it off.
Sure. What about you?
I'd change pretty much everything about this god-awful movie except for Tiny Splinter in his cage.
Really?
Yeah, I hate this film.
Do you?
Yeah. It's so boring. Like I watched it in about 8 different sittings because I couldn't get through more than 10 minutes at a time.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
What's yours?
Put that yellow jumpsuit back in the fucking film where it belongs.
Yeah, right. It wasn't that until you saw me in it, though, was it?
No. No, correct. That's it. We're out.
All right. So, Howard the Duck versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's time for the verdict. Who's going first? Chris, do you want to go first?
Sure. Sure. Howard the Duck is a fascinating curiosity, but a terrible film. I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles then. Watching it now, I like the turtles themselves a lot less because I'm a grown-up and not an idiot. But I think the film works as a story that hits all the beats a good film should, meaning I actually care about what's happening at the end. Plus, no brothels, no condoms, no duck porn, no attempted bestiality. It has to be Turtles for me. And if you choose Howard the Duck, you're a bloody perv.
Thank you. I'll go next then. Howard the Duck is a testament to why the 80s was a magnificent era for cinema. Of course they wouldn't make a movie like that now. Of course they wouldn't. But they also probably wouldn't make Ghostbusters now, Gremlins, Beetlejuice, Weekend at Bernie's. We wouldn't get any of those now. So I think it's a sad fact that we live in an era of cinema where movies like Howard the Duck aren't given a chance. And yes, sure, it frequently opens a can of what the shit on screen. And yes, a woman tries to fuck a waterfowl. But wouldn't you rather have that than another Iron Man movie? Right? Because Marvel, I mean, where have they been since Howard the Duck? Nowhere is the answer. But seriously, it's a...
Have you lost your train of thought?
Yeah. It is a glorious monstrosity, but glorious it is. Turtles is tedious, and I would rather have a horny Howard than a tedious turtle. So for me, Howard the Duck all the way. Before you go, let's find out how many other perverts are in the room. Give me a cheer if you think Howard the Duck is your winner. Yay! Thank you. Thank you. Great. That's great. Give me a cheer if Turtles is your winner. Yay! Don't be swayed by the audience. Our dear Clash Podders have been wrong before. That is
which one?
Exactly. Thank you. Let's deal with that right now.
For fuck's sake.
Just very quickly, and then we'll go. We've got a little bit of time. Give me a cheer if you love Alien more than Aliens. Yeah. Give me a cheer if you love Aliens more than Alien. Yeah. There you go. That was definitely...
A draw.
No.
That
was it.
That didn't work, did it?
That was disappointingly close.
I've never heard exactly the same volume of scream twice in a row. This is how we got into this fucking position in the first place. This is why no one who voted for How the Duck turned up, and why everyone just went, yeah, for both fucking movies.
I've got a lot of Twitter burner accounts.
It's unbelievable. Right then, don't be swayed. And remember, Howard the Duck is great.
Okay. I think it's easy to call something a cult classic just once a certain amount of time has passed, but some things are just shit forever. And Howard the Duck will be shit forever. So it's the Turtles, obviously. Obviously. Yay! Yay!
Yeah, well done.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the winner! Right then.
Has anyone come dressed up?
Oh yeah, we've got a prize. Did anyone actually come dressed up?
Anyone?
I think if no one actually put a costume on, it goes to a man who made his own T-shirt.
We don't want it.
You're having it.
Doesn't matter.
You're having it, and you're taking it back with you. You're going to post.
Isn't it broken? Why are you doing that?
Let's see the T-shirt. This is Reese, one of our listeners, one of our dear Clash Podders.
Well, Reese.
Armageddon was robbed.
Well done, Reese.
Gemma, you love it. You got it. No? All right. Okay.
Get to yes.
I mean, I'll take it off your hands. I'm a big fan. Howard the Duck's amazing. But if Turtles won, and I wasn't voting for Howard to prevent this moment, but if Turtles won, you still don't want to be part of this?
No.
Can I not as well?
You don't have an option.
Okay. I'm going to put the mask on, though, so no one has to see my face.
Why now? Why now it's come to it? Do I not want to do it? I was really fucking cocksure about this earlier. I was like, fuck it, let's do it. Hit the music! There's lyrics on screen, so you better sing along. In a half shell that a hero's for. In this day and age, who could ask for more? The crime wave is high, with muggings mysterious. All police and detectives are furious, and they gotta find the source of this legally evil force. This is serious, don't give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call Angel O'Neill in on this case. Hey, you better hurry up, there's no time to waste. We need help like quick on the double. Have pity on the city, man is in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger. When Tano came Tano, when there was danger. Insane to be there in half an hour, cause they displayed total power. Whoa, who saw that coming?
Madness.
I can't believe it.
Yep. Howard the Duck and or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles won. It was Turtles, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure
it was.
Yeah, it was.
Howard the Duck's
terrible. You voted for Howard the Duck.
I voted for Howard the Duck because it's much more entertainingly bad, whereas Turtles is boring. I think I said something
that was it. That was it. It's come back to me now. Obviously, people have just heard that. So,
there you go. You heard it again, but from a slightly better quality microphone. Right then, we're looking ahead to next week. Chris, we get to hear this again. What was the clue?
I don't know. Vicky was into it. Do you want to do the clue?
No, because I can't see. Woo, no. You go for it.
Ooh, you're moving too fast, and I don't think it's right. And apologies to Artful Dodger.
So,
It's our first listener selection from a month of listener selections here on Clash Pod. The whole of January, you're going to be doing your selections. This is the very first one. Chris, who did it come from and what are the films?
We will be telling you on Monday who it came from when we do the show.
Right, understood.
But for now, Vicky, you are doing Speed. And Alex,
I don't know why I made that noise, but I really thrusted.
You should do that more often. Yeah.
I flexed. Carry on.
Have you stopped? Have you finished?
Yeah. Yes.
Have you stopped?
Yeah.
Because you're doing.
Anymore?
You're doing Unstoppable.
No, too
really
much.
Wrecked it.
Yeah, that was really upsetting. great stuff. I love these movies. Speed versus Unstoppable.
Yeah, Speed's been screening on Sky through December, so hopefully it's still there by the time this goes out. And Unstoppable is on Disney Plus.
Lovely stuff. Unstoppable versus Speed. That is your homework for the weekend. We'll be kicking off with Speed on Monday. In the meantime, please do subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and catch up with us on Twitter and Instagram, where we are at ClashPod. Speak to you Monday. Speed!
This was a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.